Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, hello, I am James Maletti. Pastor Al Davis is away on assignment, and actually he is away at the Summit County Fair, but don't fear, Pastor Al, I believe he's already on the hotline. So my name is James Maletti. I've filled in on WHKW a number of times. Pastor John Lutz, who you just heard previously from the North Coast Baptist Church, has me fill in. I've filled in for Molly Smith a number of times on her pro-life show, and now Pastor Al has tapped me to come in and fill his seat, the captain's seat, while he's off at the Summit County Fair. Eric, do I have to do anything to take this call? Do I have to push that button? Okay. Well, I understand Pastor Al is on the phone. Pastor Al, are you there?
Welcome, Brother Maletti. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me in your captain's seat here.
Well, I'm glad you could do it, and thanks for putting me on assignment. See, I've noticed a trend here. Every time you get there, Pastor Lutz has been sent on assignment, and I just thought, you know, he was just goofing off or something, but then when I realized the connection, you sent us all on assignment. So.
These assignments cannot be resisted.
No, resistance is futile.
So you've been at the Summit County Fair. Give us a full report.
Yeah, we're out here at the Summit County Fair, and for those who don't know, it's located in Talmadge, Ohio, basically right about where around 91 and Howe Avenue meet. It's easy to find. But we're out here all day today, tomorrow, and somebody from our church will be out here on Sunday as well. And we're out here. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, has a booth. And we also have information about the radio program Live with Pastor Al and a number of things that we have, trying to get people's attention, have some good conversations with people. Even the guy last night that assured me for the last 2+ years he has not sinned one time. He was quite proud of that fact.
He must be a Seventh-day Adventist.
No, he wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist. I know where he goes to church. But getting back to the fair, if anybody's going to the Summit County Fair, stop by, look us up. I had the opportunity already to meet several people over the past few days that listened to the program, and also to tell a number of people about the program that were excited to hear about a program like this. And so if anybody's listening that was out here, thanks for stopping by. And if you're going out to Summit County Fair, look us up. We're right inside the main gate, the main entrance. There's two strip buildings on either side with different commercial booths. And we're right in the middle, right next to the Northeast Ohio Right to Life. So we got a good location there. And it's an opportunity to see a lot of people. And I mentioned it on the radio in the past, we have a board that says, see three things God cannot do. And, of course, the first of those is God cannot lie. The second one is God cannot change. And the third one is God cannot let sinners into heaven. And so it gives us an opportunity to introduce that. I won't take the time to go through the whole thing right at the moment, but we get a lot of good conversations, get a chance to share the gospel with people and encourage people to get their heart right with God and to trust Christ as their Savior. And even for Christians, they find it encouraging. I don't know how many people are convinced we're atheists because they see three things God cannot do, and they miss all of the other stuff that's around it, and they just focus on that and ask if we're some kind of atheist group. But
that'll probably draw them in quicker.
It does, actually. You would not believe how many Christians come up and want to challenge me. There's nothing God can't do. And then we open that first one, God can't lie. They go, oh, yeah, you're right.
Now, I've been to some of those fairs before and have seen the Gideon's people there, and they've been handing out Bibles. Yeah. And I actually wanted to help them distribute them, and we kind of became helpers for distributing Bibles. Do you see those Gideon guys there anywhere?
I have not seen them myself. There's another commercial building at the fair that I've not been in. I think they've been in there in the past. But up where we're at, we're located up, like I said, by the main entrance. The church where my daughter and son-in-law go, Hametown Road Baptist Church, is located actually in the opposite corner. So we got both sides of the fairgrounds pretty well with that. But yeah, so it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a long day. I'll be out here tonight, though, only until 6, because we have our Friday night Bible study. But we'll have some people from our church filling in for me tonight. And then likewise on Sunday, I'll be at our church on Sunday, our regular schedule. But some people from our church will be out here filling in. So the booth will be here, and you can stop by and visit the fair and visit our booth. And we just want to get out in the marketplace. There's not too many places in Richfield where you can find people wandering around too much that are willing to talk to you. So this is one of those opportunities we get to do that. So
very good.
Well, I want to say I appreciate you sitting in for me today.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. I very much appreciate the opportunity. I'm going to continue with the lesson that I was only two segments into the last time I was on WHKW, filling in for Pastor Lutz on Calvinism.
Right.
I'm going to fill in the blanks that I couldn't get to last time, so I really look forward to that.
Oh, that'll be very good. I would listen, but I'm going to hang up here in a few minutes and let you get back to that.
I understand.
But I just wanted to thank you for filling in for me and recommend you to the listeners and check us out on Facebook. I've got your testimony linked up on our Facebook page, and I think that people will find your testimony to be very exciting, very interesting.
It's been a unique life, I can tell you that. Go to Pastor Al's website. Sure. What is that website?
Well, it's on our Facebook page
right now. Okay, very good.
You can go to Facebook and look at Live with Pastor Al on Facebook.
Very good.
Yeah, most people who do Facebook know how to find stuff, but if you're having trouble, it's Facebook, and then just search for Live with Pastor Al, and you'll find it. I put the link mentioning that you're going to be filling in with your testimony there at the top, so it should still be there at the top of the page. So,
all right.
But thanks again, and God bless you, and I will hopefully catch up with you later on, so God bless.
Thank you for the opportunity. Be bold.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Appreciate your prayers.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right. Well, that's Pastor Al. He's out at the Summit County Fair. If you happen to be passing by, if you're in the car on the way out there, make sure you check him out. And he sure is a Bible scholar. I've gone to his Bible study before, and it's great stuff. He's really good at prophecy, too, and you don't hear too much prophecy these days. And Pastor Al really has some good information to share with us on Bible prophecy. But as I mentioned, last time I was able to come in here and fill in, it was for Pastor Lutz, and I had started kind of a study on Calvinism, and there's just so darn much that I couldn't get through very much, so I wanted to finish that up. But what's important is to understand that this needs to be taken back from the Calvinists, because the Calvinists unfortunately have, and now nobody's saying Calvinists are bad people. These are very good people. I am good friends with some people that are Calvinists, and they're fine people, just deceived, because what they're teaching is really not in the Bible. It's not backed up by the Bible, and it's not in the Bible. You can see some of the verses that they rely on, and if you take them out of context, it certainly looks like what they're saying, but when you have the bigger context of the Bible, the fact that God is calling everybody to repentance and salvation, that Jesus died for everybody on the cross, these things are basic concepts that run throughout all the Bible, and you can't just pick and choose a couple of verses and say, see, God only died for certain people. But let's go through specifically what they believe really quick. You've heard of that tulip. Tulip, it stands for the 5 points of Calvinism. I'm going to go through them really quick because I didn't have a lot of time last time, and I don't have a lot of time this time. But tulip, the T stands for total depravity. Man is totally corrupt and dead and cannot respond to the gospel unless God sovereignly enables him. Sovereignly is a word that is not used in the King James Bible. If you're trying to get a biblical definition of a word and it's not used in the Bible, you can't do it. And if you hear the words elect and God's sovereign will over and over and over, you're in the presence of a Calvinist. So total depravity, man is totally corrupt and dead and cannot respond to the gospel unless God sovereignly enables him. So, of course, that eliminates free will. That eliminates free will. And if you want to get saved and God doesn't zap you into salvation, too bad for you. And contrarily, if you don't want to get saved and God zaps you into salvation, then you're saved. They have... Let me get through these tulip things really quick, and then I'll respond to them. Unconditional, the U is unconditional election. God unconditionally chooses who will be called to salvation. I'm going to read you quickly of the words of John Calvin. God devotes to destruction whom he pleases. They are predestined to eternal death without any demerit of their own, merely by his sovereign will. He orders all things by his counsel and decree in such a manner that some men are born devoted from the womb to certain death, that his name may be glorified in their destruction. That is making God a monster. That is heresy right there. That's what John Calvin, that's from his Institutes of Christian Religion, Book 3, Chapter 23. Those are John Calvin's words. That's an exact quote. That is awful stuff, unconditional election. The L now, limited atonement. The death of Christ was only for those who God will call to salvation. It's hard not to respond to these as, but I just want to get through them and then I'll respond to them. Irresistible grace. The I is in tulip. Irresistible grace. God's call to salvation is effective and cannot be resisted. Doesn't matter what happens. You can't resist. You don't have any free will. It's just what God wants to do with you. The P is perseverance of the saints. The saved will continue in their faith. Now, I used to think that wasn't a big deal, but as I studied it out, I'll illustrate to you that that's not right either. So you should be a zero-point Calvinist. There are people, now, it's no Calvinist will, it seems like they always deny that they're Calvinists. They never say, yes, I'm a Calvinist, absolutely, and they always deny it. They never, ever, ever say, they just say, I'm a Bible believer and this is what the Bible teaches, but it doesn't. We'll see that right now. So total depravity, man cannot respond to the gospel unless God sovereignly enables him. Saul on the road to Tarsus was getting, it's hard for you to kick, Or, I'm sorry, on the road to Damascus, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. What are the pricks? The pricks are you're getting called. Your conscience is getting called by God. How can you be turned over to, and now there's plenty of verses that illustrate this, but I want to give some bigger concepts. How can God turn you over to a reprobate mind? If you're already doomed to destruction, the concept of being turned over to a reprobate mind wouldn't even exist, yet it does in the Bible repeatedly. If you're already doomed to destruction, you couldn't be turned over to a reprobate mind, but you could if you had the opportunity to be saved and rejected it, because that's actually what's happening. Hebrews 11:6, he is a rewarder, he is God, of course, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Calvinism gives you an excuse. I can't get saved. I wasn't one of the elect. I can't, but there's nothing I can do. This is the big heresy of Calvinism, is it gives you an excuse, because why should I seek God? I don't feel like I'm one of the elect. Of course, you're not going to know. Calvinists don't even know that they're the elect, really. I'm going to skip now, but I'm going to go to that total depravity or perseverance of the saints. Calvinists don't really know that they're saved. They have to persevere to the end. It's kind of interesting because they say you don't have any role in your own salvation, yet their works will show them that they're saved, and that's what shows that they persevere to the end. Well, when we actually know that God does the work on the cross, Jesus does the work on the cross and saves us, and we accept that salvation or we deny that salvation. That's our whole job on earth. That's actually the reason we exist. You either accept Jesus' sacrifice or you deny Jesus' sacrifice. And you don't have to do stuff to continue in your salvation, and you don't have to do stuff to be saved, and you have an assurance. This perseverance of the saints eliminates your assurance that you're saved. Ephesians says twice in it that you are sealed. You're sealed with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, God is literally indwelling in you, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and you can't kick the Holy Spirit out, and you don't have to do anything to know that you're saved. You are saved when you confess Jesus Christ, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior. So when the Calvinists will tell you perseverance of the saints, here's what Dave Hunt, if you don't know Dave Hunt, I recommend you go get a Dave Hunt book. He is a genius, biblical genius, and has a book, a really big, good, popular, great book about Calvinism. And here's a quote from Dave Hunt. Biblical assurance of salvation does not depend on our performance, but upon the gospel's declaration that Christ died for the sins of the world and upon his promise that whosoever believes in him receives the gift of eternal life. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing you have to do to maintain that. You have to get it to begin with by accepting Jesus' sacrifice. So let's see, where were we in these things? Total depravity. Man cannot respond to God, to the gospel, unless God sovereignly enables him. That eliminates free will. The U in TULIP is unconditional election. God unconditionally chooses who will be saved. And I'm sorry for going really fast, but there's such a limited amount of time. And I didn't get through the stuff last time, and I want to make sure I do this time. So God unconditionally chooses who will be saved. Well, people don't go to hell because they're not chosen by God. They go to hell for not believing in Jesus Christ. Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wing, yet ye would not. Doesn't say ye could not, it says ye would not. And it's very clear throughout the Bible. Let's look at Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, ye and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They were giving the gospel to everybody. God was calling everybody. God works through human instruments. God works through human instruments and calls everybody. Your job is to either accept or reject God's calling. That's it. The problem that happens all the time is that people think, well, I just don't care. I'm not going to do anything. Doesn't matter to me. And that's still rejecting Jesus. You can't say, I don't care. That's rejecting Jesus. We either go to heaven or hell when we die, one of the two. And if you don't accept the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for you, doesn't matter if you're specifically rejecting it or you're just not doing anything about it and not caring about it, that's still rejecting it. And you have to accept the sacrifice that Jesus made. That is the gift of God. You'll hear Calvinists will say salvation is a gift from God. Well, absolutely. Jesus did the work on the cross. Jesus, God came to earth as a man. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus did all the work. Jesus rose from the dead to defeat death. He did all the work, and that was done for us. That gift was given to us. Now you have to accept it or reject it. That's your choice too. You have to accept it or reject it. Calvinists don't believe in free will. I've never heard one explain how they can. There are free will offerings in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there are a number of places that talk about free will offerings. Let's see if I can cite one here. Leviticus 1:3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Pretty clear there's free will. Leviticus 19:5. And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. You can't be told there's no free will when God tells you there is. It's not up to man to make these things up. It's up to God to tell us, and we either accept it or deny it. God's word is for us. It's not for us to change. So where are we now? In this tulip thing I'm going through, the I is for irresistible grace. God's call to salvation cannot be resisted. Doesn't matter what happens, you can't resist it. But look at the concept of it. The bigger picture is God, the Jews are God's chosen people. Back then and today, lots and lots, most, the majority of Jews, that's why they're not saved. They're God's chosen people. Matter of fact, the word for elect and chosen is the same word in the Greek, electos, I believe. And it's so chosen and elect, same thing. The Jews were God's chosen people, but they weren't and are not mostly saved, mostly unsaved. Matter of fact, this is a real interesting breakdown. What were the Jews chosen or elected for? Being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation? Exodus 19:6 tells us that. What else were they elected, the Jews elected or chosen for? Being renowned? Praise and honor to the Lord. Jeremiah 13:11 tells us that. Jews were elected or chosen for keeping and preserving the law. Joshua 22:5 tells us that. Nowhere ever in the Bible does it say you are elected or chosen for salvation unless you have to twist the words of God, because it doesn't exist. It contradicts everything that the Bible says. Here is another great, great study. There are 12 mentions of the word elect in the Bible. I don't want this to be cumbersome, but this is really good stuff. What are the 12 times that the word elect is used in the Bible. It's for the object of God's elect. The word elect is used in a variety of ways. It refers to the Messiah. That's Isaiah 42:1 and 1 Peter 2:6. Election refers to Israel or the Jews in Isaiah 45:4, 65:9, and 65:22. Election refers to and Matthew 24:31 and Mark 13:27. Election also refers to the church. That's in Matthew 24:24, Mark 13:22, and Luke 18:7. Election also refers to angels in 1 Timothy 5:21 and kind of to a random lady in 2 John 1:13. Nowhere, again, this is so important, none of those verses, that's every time elect is used in the Bible, not any of those verses, refers to a class of people designated for salvation, a special class of people marked out by God for salvation while everyone else is doomed to destruction in hell for eternity. Nowhere does the Bible say that. Matter of fact, look at 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Man, it's not hard. I don't understand why the people that are told, that we are told are the best Bible scholars, a lot of times these people are Calvinists. And I mean, sixth graders can understand why you're supposed to witness, how come you're supposed to get saved through accepting Jesus. These are not hard concepts. God is calling all people. As a matter of fact, let's hear what God has to say specifically. Isaiah 45:22. God's calling all people. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. That's God talking about salvation. He's telling us very specifically, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Man, oh man, it's not that hard. Limited atonement is the L in TULIP. Christ only died for those God calls to salvation. Well, of course, we know John 3:16, God loves all men. 2 Peter 3:9, God desires all men to be saved. Mark 16:15, God has commanded that the gospel be preached to every person. 1 Timothy 2:6, Jesus was ransomed for all men. Hebrews 2:9, Jesus tasted death for all men. 1 John 2:2, Jesus provided propitiation for all men. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God provided reconciliation for all men. 2 Peter 2:1, Jesus bought even unsaved false teachers. Isaiah 53:6, the iniquity of all men was laid on Jesus. Limited atonement is a ridiculous idea. Christ didn't just die for certain people, he died for everybody. And if you accept his sacrifice that he made, you are saved. If you reject it, you are doomed. The whole Bible revolves around this concept. That's literally the meaning of life, is you have to accept or deny Jesus. That's all, the only reason we're here. And then you're supposed to spread the gospel to other people and get them saved. That's the whole meaning of life. You've got Buddhists and all these people seeking the meaning of life, deep spiritual truths and New Agers and all that, humming and meditating and cross-legged and on mountaintops. That's the meaning of life. You don't have to go to the mountaintop. You just heard it right there. You got to accept Jesus Christ or deny him if you want. It's your choice. You have the free will to do it because God is so gracious that he gives you what you want. You will get eternal life in heaven if you desire it, or you can have damnation in hell. If you don't want to accept Jesus, fine. There are consequences to that choice, just like there are consequences to anything, but it's up to you if you want it or not. Jesus has made that sacrifice because he loves everyone so much. So John 3:16 says, we are awful, horrible sinners. The end of the first chapter of Romans tells us what we are, horrible, rotten sinners described in great detail, and yet Jesus died for us even still because he loves us so much. The God of Calvinism does not love us. It's a horrible deception. So my friends, please, please don't fall subject to this horrible deception. Know that God loves you. Know that you can repent from your sins. It's up to you to accept or deny Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I pray for everyone's salvation that is not saved right now, that you can turn from your sins, repent of them, and come to Jesus for his great love, for his saving grace, and for his salvation in your life. Thank you, my friends, for listening. God bless you all.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.